John's Gospel, chapter number 4. If you've never been in this position before, you don't understand always what a person feels being here. Sometimes we just, as a preacher, we have just a solid feeling of what message to preach. And then sometimes we have a feeling or a direction that humanly we can't quite comprehend. So if you feel like I've missed it this morning, then you just ask God to help me see a little more clearly. You say, well, why would you think that we would think that you may have missed it? Because I thought I sometimes feel like I've missed it. I just struggled even this morning. Lord, are you sure this is what you want? Because it just doesn't seem to fit all the time what our mind thinks ought to be. And I also realize that some of the things I'm going to say this morning can be taken in wrong ways, or can be taken as a cut and dried, stamping. It's not always that way. There are times that things have to go a different direction, or things are a different way than what we would normally think or say. But we have to look at the innermost working, the heart issue, more than what we will the outward. Although the outward shows what's in the heart. If the habit is formed, if the direction has been established, that comes from what is in the heart. Now, a little deviation from something that is normal doesn't necessarily mean it comes from the heart. It means that things have changed, and there's some scenarios that complicate matters or change us from the norm. John's Gospel, chapter number 4. I want to begin reading with verse number 19. If you would, stand with me this morning as we read from God's Word. I'm cutting into the middle of a story here. I'm not trying to destroy the story, but simply to pick up in the middle of this story to draw attention to a specific thought that's in our reading this morning. John chapter 4, verse 19. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Father, open our eyes this morning with your hand. Give us that anointing that we need. Give me the anointing that I need to speak and to preach this message that you have laid on my heart. Lord, I pray that you would give that anointing that we need, that is necessary to open our ears, open our heart, open our eyes, we pray, and speak to us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. What is worship? What is worship? What do we think of when we think about worship? Do we think just about the duty that is ours to show up at church on Sunday, sometime before the benediction? Do we think about worship as something that we just do as duty to show our part in being a part of the church? Doesn't matter anything at all about what takes place. It's just simply the fulfillment of duty. Is that what worship is? Is worship something that we just slide into and slide out of? Is worship something that just comes by natural occurrence? Or is worship something that comes only when the Spirit of God moves in might and in power? We all know and believe that when God comes in that way with might and power, it's easy to focus or to worship God. What is worship? You know, some churches would say that if we have an orchestra like other churches, then we can worship easier. Let me ask you this morning, does it make it easier to worship God when you're at home with the, well, what normally is a large orchestra? Or is it easier when you're away from home, away from an orchestra? You know, sometimes we would say, people say that an orchestra helps people in worship. We get used to it, don't we? It's just part of every Sunday. We don't think too much of it when one of the instrument players gets ahead or gets behind in the rhythm of the music, the flow of the music. Or when one of them hits a wrong note. We don't think a whole lot about that. We just go on. Some people might say, you know, we could really worship God if we had a worship team, a worship leader, someone who would, with emotion, bring us into the spirit of worship. Is that what worship is? Is that what really brings us the feeling or the reality of worship? Someone said that the law of faith is the law of worship. The law of faith is the law of worship. I think that comes from a Latin saying. I'm not going to try to pronounce that Latin saying. But in the English, it would emphasize to us that our faith will shape our worship. And our worship will state our faith. Our faith will shape our worship. And our worship will state our faith. So if we think about that, and if that is a reality, that faith will shape our worship and our worship will state our faith, then it would be simply stated that a deeply committed Christian will worship God with the assertion that truth is expressed with vigor and excitement. I know you people that say that you don't have any emotion to express would say that that's not really true, but somewhere there ought to be that expression, whether it's an outward expression on the countenance or something that is bubbling on the inside that will grasp and hold our attention with vigor and excitement. But if we don't have it that way, if it's not that way, then perhaps the problem is that we are uncertain about what is truth. Maybe the remark of Pilate is your remark. What is truth? Whether he said that with a sneer, or whether he said that with exasperation, whether he said that out of disbelief in what was before him and who was before him, I don't need to argue the point this morning. He simply said what and asked the question, what is truth? And so if that is our feeling this morning, the uncertainty of truth, then that will show itself in our worship, so that our worship will be just as muddled as what we are. Now, I realize this morning that private devotion is concealed from general scrutiny, but public worship openly registers the spiritual health of every congregation. Public worship openly registers the spiritual health of every congregation. You know, there's signs of health, isn't there? Or there's signs of the lack of health. Jonathan's been a little puny this week, a little sick. Touched his forehead and there was a fever a day or two earlier in the week. But you know what the sign was that he wasn't feeling very good? He laid around and didn't have an appetite. You know, a kid that usually bounces off the walls and can eat you out of house and home, and both of those things stop, you know that something's wrong. You know that something's wrong. You know that there are signs to our spiritual health. We can perform all the actions. We can do all of the outward signs. We can show up for church before church begins. We can have an active part in Sunday school. We can have an active part in everything that is going on in the church. But if we fail to worship God, then that is a sign that there is a lack of spiritual health on the inside. How does it show up in our worship or our lack of worship? You might disagree with me this morning, but let me suggest to you, with a lot of authority, that tardiness is a sign of the lack of the spiritual health that is necessary to bring us to worship. Now, I know that may step on some toes this morning, and that's one of those things that I was saying is that we would normally think of as cut and dried, and really it is cut and dried. Now, if you have a flat tire on the way to church and you can't get there on time, that's an understood difference. But if the only reason that you are late or tardy to church every Sunday or every time the doors open is simply because you leave the house late, because you crawl out of bed late, then there's something that is telling, it ought to tell you, it tells the pastor that there is a spiritual health problem. Because we ought to hunger to be in the house of God with God's people for the sole purpose, not of fellowshipping one with the other and seeing what other people have on that day, but for the sole purpose of corporate worship. And I know that stepping on toes is not a fun thing to do, but sometimes sleepiness will show in our spiritual health when it comes to Sunday church services or worship time. Now, what is the effect of us being sleepy? Was it because we got to bed at midnight or 1 o'clock Saturday night? Was it because we spent all day Saturday at the mall shopping so that we were exhausted for Sunday morning? I've said time and time again, and I believe it, that a lot of people desecrate the Lord's Day on Saturday simply because of what they do, and it doesn't prepare them for worship on Sunday. You say, well, there's nothing wrong with shopping on Saturday. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But if what we are doing is consistently making us exhausted on Saturdays so that we can't function and worship on Sunday, something must change. I'm surprised. I guess now this in here would come from personal, just personal makeup. But I just don't understand how somebody can come to church and not have at least a desire to sing. You know, I see an awful lot from right up here. Now, there's a section of people right here that I can't see unless we're standing up. So I always like it when the song leader says stand up. It's not always good for me to see, though. But I'm amazed at how many people don't even attempt to sing. They're off in Neverland. They're watching that person's child make a ruckus, or they're watching that person and scrutinizing their clothes for the day and wondering how in the world they could possibly wear something like that. You know, there's times that you can't sing. There's times that you open your mouth to sing and nothing comes out of any quality whatsoever. You know, you just might as well keep your mouth shut. After youth camp's over with, there's no sense in me attempting to even to think about attempting to sing. You know, there's nothing that a cricket would enjoy hearing. But still, there's something down inside, and maybe that's just part of my makeup. I want to sing. I want to rejoice. I want to express it in song. I tell you what, sometimes people come to church and there is not a thing in this world that an orchestra or a worship team or a good quality song leader that you think that the other church has over top of us. You know, it doesn't matter who's up here. You're just not going to smile and sing or worship. Because you're only here out of duty to come to the corporate place of worship. You're not here for corporate worship. You know, it's comical to really watch some people watch everybody else. You say, well, that's a little strange, isn't it? Well, yeah, you look at them, and their eyes are roaming all over the place. Every little distraction distracts them. You know, thank God for babies. And there's times that the babies are unified in their effort to distract. And it takes a real disciplined mind to keep from being distracted. Maybe that's why God's blessed us with so many children in their congregation, is to teach us discipline. Because we need that. We need to quit focusing on every little distraction. If Adelia were holding that baby right, she wouldn't have bumped her head on that bench. Oh, look, oh, now Destiny's messing around with her kid. Forget them. No, that's not what's going on. I don't even think Adelia is holding one. I don't know. Forget what's going on there. Forget what's going on here. Forget what's taking place somewhere else. And focus our attention on the heart health of worship. Well, while I'm on babies, let's just talk a little bit more about babies. Let me hold your baby because I don't feel like worshiping today. Oh no, nobody said that. No. I'm really venturing out there on that one, aren't I? Nobody said that one. At least not verbally. Now granted, I'm sure that some of these mothers appreciate somebody helping out with the the children so that they can have a little bit of time to worship as well. I'm not saying that that's not a valid reason to pass the baby to somebody else. But I also am aware that sometimes the other person that's holding the baby isn't quite as serious about its training, proper training for worship services, as what the parent is. I've wondered many times how in the world we were able to manage with my wife on the piano bench for most of the service and then doing junior church during the preaching part of the service for so many years. Wondering how in the world we're going to keep these kids or make these kids mind in church and then be proper in church. Part of it was the fear of the paddle that was successful. Because they knew where that paddle was in the home. And that there were times that it would be used when they arrived back home. There's some people that wanted to take care of Caleb. Caleb was born in Evansville, so you know he was the church's little baby for a long time. Didn't have all these extras running around or being passed around in Evansville. He was the church's baby. Well, let me keep him today. But you know, that person that wanted to keep him just let him run back and forth or scream and squall. There wasn't any discipline, there wasn't any structure, so kind of struggled with that one. Oh, good quality people. Don't get me wrong. I'm talking about good quality people. But they didn't want, for one thing, they didn't want to discipline the preacher's kid. That's not a good thing either when they're in charge of taking care of that child. And so somebody might come to church, I think I'm going to see if I can hold so-and-so's baby today because I really don't feel like participating. What do we come to church for? What is worship? We are deeply committed to Christian truth, and our worship will assert that truth with vigor and excitement. A church historian said that worship, no act is more central to the Christian life. It gives rhythm and structure to the Christian's life. It is the heartbeat of congregational life. Worship is the heartbeat of congregational life. Larry Smith said that what happens on Sunday morning is thus the most important event in your church's life. Now this comes, you know who Larry Smith is, don't you? He's a Methodist historian. He has a lot of knowledge wrapped up in his head about the old-time Methodist liturgy and the old-time Methodist styles of worship. Something that we may not want to always go back to, but something that we ought to take notice of because those people knew how to worship. When somebody called out the song number to sing the song, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, there was something about that song that rose up in the heart of the congregation that they couldn't help but sing. They couldn't help but worship. But now we can sing that old, good old hymn of the church with so much meaning and so much strength and value to it. We can sing it through the entire, what is it, 5 or 6 verses and have no feeling whatsoever. Now I realize that feeling isn't all that it's made up to be or that it's not what we base ourselves on, but we must have a feeling coming from the aspects of God and His majesty and His might and His power and all that there is involved that is contained in that song. It surely ought to bubble something somewhere inside our heart. If we are truly worshiping God. Most important event in your church's life, for it reveals, then reinforces the priorities and convictions that drive everything else. For worship is what the church is all about. That's a pretty strong statement. Worship is what the church is all about, and its other activities, such as evangelism, discipleship, and apologetics. Say, Brother Ziegler, those things are what the church is all about. Listen to what he said. Worship is what the church is all about. All the other activities, such as evangelism, discipleship, and apologetics, are necessary corollaries to it. In other words, those things flow from the health of spiritual corporate worship. But the preaching is so very dry. Granted, the preaching might be dry, but what about our spirit of worship before the preacher ever gets up and calls for his text? You see, that is what sets the tone for our worship. When we come through the doors and we take our place in our seat and the service has begun, the song leader calls out the first number, what is our spirit at that point in time? Are we prepared to worship God, or are we prepared to see if Brother Ken is able to bring us into a spirit of worship? You see, one of the old Methodist styles of worship, or the points of their style of worship, was that they came to church already in the spirit of worship. That was what brought them into the sanctuary to bend the knee at their pew before the service ever began. It was to prep themselves even just a little bit more to come into God's presence. Because God is worthy of man's worship. If the preaching is so very dry, then maybe it's because our heart is shriveled up in the aspect of worship. There hasn't been any preparation for worship. Or maybe worship has been decimated by the actions that we have taken prior to arriving at the place of corporate worship. For instance, I believe that it would be hard for me to focus upon worship if I just read the latest article on the new world record whitetail just prior to coming to church. Now, I hope that you would agree with me that there's nothing wrong with reading an article on some new world record whitetail. But it's just not quite the material that would be necessary to bring me in a place of church worship. It might do a lot of good if there was idol worship there going on. And there is idol worship in Antlers, there's no doubt. But what is it that we use to prepare ourselves for worship? Or what is it that we are involved with that would decimate or stymie our worship spirit? Not necessarily and only what we would do, but sometimes what we fail to do to bring us into worship. If our worship is to glorify God, and our worship is to, in essence, sanctify His people, and its purpose is to accomplish both of these, if worship is to accomplish both of these, then it must be offered in spirit and in truth. That's what Scripture, that's what Jesus is telling us, that we should worship God in spirit and in truth. Now, what is that? What does that mean? Dr. Adam Clark said to do so from the heart. To worship Him in spirit would be from the heart, not from the mind. You know, let's separate this thing. We know in our mind that we're supposed to do certain things. We know in our mind that we're supposed to turn to song number whatever. And we know in our mind that we're supposed to follow through there. Whether we open our mouth and sing it or not, we're supposed to follow the words. And we're supposed to go to church, but it's from the heart. It's when we have a heart connection with what we're singing about. It's when we have a heart connection when somebody else testifies of the glory of God or the majesty of God or the blessings of God, the answers to prayer that God has provided. It's that heart relationship, that heart worship. He went on to say that to worship in truth is to do so according to that divine revelation which He has given men of Himself. In truth, It's when we recognize that God is who He said He was. Does that stir us at all? When we think about God being who He said, do we really believe that that is truth? Do we hold to that with everything that we have, with the tenacious hands of confidence that He is who He said He was? As I stood beside the emergency room bed of Laura Friday night, Saturday morning, my heart... You know, what do you say? What do you do in those kind of situations? The only thing that I could think of was, oh God, somehow help her to feel the reality of who You are. You know, I believe it. I don't know how easy it is to believe in that situation. But it doesn't change the reality of it. We just simply believe. It's simply true. It's simply, He is simply real. And He has promised you and me, if we're faithful to Him, He is always faithful to us. That ought to stir our heart no matter what the circumstances are. Even when the storm is raging, the winds are blowing, the ship is about to be overturned. Lord, do You not care? We're about to perish. He is there. He is right there. And that is worshiping Him in truth. Perhaps you could say that is intense devotion. It's intense devotion that is freely offered. It is the subjective attitude of authentic worship. Worship is never exploited, or is never to exploit emotional excitement or stage some kind of talented performance or wallow in some kind of syrupy feelings. Rather, worship, when we come to God's house for service, worship is the celebration before God, the truth of His supreme worth and of His mighty deeds. The celebration before God, the truth of His supreme worth and His mighty deeds. That's what we come to God's house for. What is worship? How do you worship? Is it just part of duty showing up at the place of corporate worship? Or is it really a reality where your heart comes into the very presence of God to celebrate? You know what celebration is, don't you? Maybe we need to take some time here and understand what celebration is. When we have a celebration of somebody's birthday party, it's just a real boring time, isn't it? Kids don't ever want to go to anybody else's birthday party because it's boring. Is that right? That's not the case most of the time, anyway, that I've ever seen. But a celebration is something of excitement, and there's something that people want to participate in because it is exciting. We ought to have an exciting time, whether it's always the bubble coming up all the time from inside or simply that contented feeling of being in God's presence, celebrating His truth of His supreme worth and His mighty deeds. Oh, worship the King. Oh, worship the King. And lift up His name from our heart, not just from our head, but from the innermost capacity of the soul, recognizing His worth and His might. I invite you to stand with me this morning.